man was made for revival. It's not even that important that we're so-and-so's here and so-and-so's not here. What's important tonight is that you're here.
Yes.
And that God wants to speak to you. This is not a message for anyone other than those that are here tonight.
Yeah.
That's who God wants to speak to. Alright? In the book of Luke, chapter number 6, and verse 6, a very familiar text in the Bible. The Bible says, and it came to pass also on another Sabbath that he entered into the synagogue and taught. There was a man whose right hand was withered. The scribes and the Pharisees watched him whether he would heal on the Sabbath day, that they might find an accusation against him. But he knew their thoughts and said to the man which had the withered hand, rise up and stand forth in the midst. And he arose and stood forth. Jesus said unto them, I will ask you one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath days to do good or to do evil? To save life or to destroy? Looking round about upon them all, he said unto the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he did so. And his hand was restored whole as the other. Could you stretch your hands towards heaven? Ask the Lord to anoint me for a few moments today. Father, we need you. We ask you to come down amongst us tonight. Father, we ask you to speak to us in this service. Lord, I ask you to open every mind and every heart. Father, I ask you to come so near that we can hear your voice. Speak to us personally tonight. Lord, we ask you to anoint me just for a few moments. Anoint this congregation. Bless them and help them now. In the name of Jesus we pray. And the church said, amen. Several churches in my lifetime. I really, some evangelists keep count. I don't guess I really know, but I imagine it's in the hundreds by now. I imagine it's in the hundreds. And sometimes I'll go to camp meeting and folks will walk up to me and they'll say, how you doing, Brother Alexander? And you can always tell that either I know them or I don't remember their name, because if I don't remember their name, I just smile and say, how are you, brother? I just sort of smile and let them think I know who they are, even if I don't know who they are. You know what I mean? So I just smile and say, but there's a lot of them that can come and they can tell me the sermon I preached at their church. They can tell me what revival it was in and what year it was in. And then I look at them and I have no idea what their name is. I have no idea. You ever been there? And that's the story of this text here. We've got a man that we have no idea what his name is. The Bible does not tell us what his name is. And I always like to read in the book of Luke, because I found out that the book of Luke is a lot more detailed than some of the others. And reading the book of Luke, you would figure if there was anyone in the Gospels that was going to tell you what this man's name was, it would have been in the book of Luke. But it doesn't happen. It doesn't.
does not have.
The only thing we know about this man is this man had a withered right hand. That's all we know about him. That's the only way that Luke addresses him, is he's a man with a withered right hand. Now there's one thing that we do know, that he came to the house of God with a withered right hand. Came to church knowing that he had a problem. Came to church knowing that he had something going on in his life that was not like it needed to be. So he walked in amongst the congregation, just like many of you. I know Brother Matthew, I know Sister Jessica, I know Brother Steve, I know Brother Brett, I know several of you. But some of you, I do not know your name. But you come in here tonight, and you sit down in the house of God. For all I know, you could have walked into this building with a withered hand or a withered heart. You could have walked in this building tonight with some type of spiritual problem going on. You might have walked in that door back there thinking to yourself, I've come tonight because I really need help. Maybe your family knows about it. Maybe they don't. Maybe Brother Joel McCoy understands what you're going through. Maybe he does not. Maybe you spent time talking to Brother Matthew or Brother Billy Ray about it. And then again, maybe you haven't. Maybe you just walked in and sat down hoping nobody would notice that you got something going on inside of your spirit. Maybe you walked into this building and you sat down tonight and inside your heart, you're in troubled waters. Inside your soul, there's an unrest. I want to tell you tonight, you're in the right place. Sometimes folks come in and they're so spiritually distraught that it's obvious to see. I watched them come into church in the years that I've evangelized and pastored. When they walked in the door, I understood there was something going on in their life. And then sometimes they walked in and they sat down just like you. But you couldn't tell on their face if there was anything wrong with them whatsoever. They didn't look like they had a problem. They didn't look like they had a need. They just walked in and sat down. We'll try to help you here in just a little while tonight. I've watched them come in before and their face was emotionally distressed. I met them at the back door and I shook their hand, and sometimes as I just spoke their name or asked them how they were doing, they broke down in tears and began to cry. I knew they had something going on in their life. They had something that was a troubling them, something that was a bothering them. Maybe they come into the house of God and they were a mental wreck. And then everything in life, even that could go wrong, that went wrong. And they felt as if though God himself had forgotten all about them, they felt as if though God himself, amen, had left him down. But I want you to realize tonight, when you walk into those back doors, heaven to acknowledge that you're here tonight. Heaven understands that you're here with the need. Amen. Sometimes folks walk in the bad door. Their home's about to bust apart. And have them walk in. Have them look at me while I was in revival. Had them look at me. I'll never forget that young lady at Rich Lane's Tabernacle. I was preaching revival there years ago. She come in. She looked at me. I think it was at all the service. She walked up and she grabbed me by the hand and I shook her hand. Tears began to flood out of those eyes of hers, and she said, "He left me today. He left me." She came to church and she handed me. You're here tonight. There's something going on inside you. Possibly you can't tell anybody about it. Possibly you don't want nobody to know about it. Now this man that I'm talking to you about tonight, I don't know where these folks that write commentaries come up with all the things they think of. But they must know a whole lot more about situations than I do. Now, Brother Jerry, they tell me in those commentaries that this man was a bricklayer. That's what his trade was. But there is no mention in the book of Luke that this man was born this way. Normally, when he's born that way, Luke would point it out. This man had a withered hand from birth. So that tells me that this man's hand must have got hurt someplace. And of course, help me just clear that out. Something went on. A one-hand man wanting to be bricklaying for a living. Just can't see that. That's a hard job with both hands. Much less with one hand. Now, quite possibly, this man walked into that building, sat down. In my mind, he's got a little wife sitting with him. Got a little boy sitting next to him. This is J.R. commentary. And I can almost see Brother Matthew as he's sitting there and he's taking the time to take that right hand that's withered in his tucked little way. Because he don't want nobody to see. This is bothering me. Sweet little wife. She looks up at him and she admires his broad shoulders. She looks at that stern face and she still loves him. And she catches herself and she glances down. And she knew how bad it bothered him. But she would never tell him anything because he was already feeling bad enough about the situation that he had. Now, he was. possibly one day he was on the job. Many of you brothers that work construction know that sometimes things can happen before you ever know what's hit you. Sometimes accidents can take place. Maybe that man in just a reaction, how some of us will do when we're working and something falls or begins to fall. We'll reach out our hand and try to catch it. Maybe he reached out his hand and it crushed his hand and it said he didn't move. And his hand became dead. Maybe it's something that's happened to you in your life. Maybe it's something that you suffered. Maybe it was an accident. Maybe it was something that happened in the course of life that you never dreamed of would take place. Maybe it got hurt because of someone else. Maybe it got hurt because of your own actions. Maybe it got injured by the actions of others, but nevertheless it's left you with a withered hand. It's left you hurting. It's left you not like you was before. You're not as strong as you once was. You're not as happy as you once was. You can't do all the things that you used to do. As a matter of fact, maybe that man was going to take that little boy and teach him how to shoot a bow that night. They injured his hand. I don't know. But he'll never pull it back again. Because he's hurt. And you say to yourself, doesn't that make sense? Spirit of the Lord is calling in this place right now. He's giving it up to you. I want to do the things I did before, but I just can't do them anymore. I'm injured, preacher, don't you understand? I'm hurt, preacher, don't you understand? Why, yes, I understand, but I also understand you've not given up. And I also understand that you're at the house of God tonight. And I also understand that even if God's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, I also understand that God's hand's not short, that he cannot reach, and neither is his ear heavy, that he cannot hear. I want to tell you tonight, you're in the right place for God to help you. Walked in that night.
think anything differently. I believe Jesus came that day looking for a man with a word. First thing I want you to notice that Jesus did in my mind is he had compassion on that. There was no he got what he deserved. There was no what did they expect. There was no he brought him on himself. It was simply Jesus came in and he looked at a man that was withered in that head because he didn't want to see him dead in the crowd. And he was on my body. I'm hurting. Just like some of you sitting in this building tonight. You are on my body. I'm not doing the Holy Ghost blood this place. I'm not trying to preach high tonight. I'm preaching what God wants me to say. I'm not trying to shout you tonight. Because tonight, more than anything, what needs to happen in this service is the Master needs to come in. And he needs to look at all of us with all of our problems. And he needs to have compassion on us. If we could just get him to understand. I need help. I got something going on that I can't talk about. So Jesus looks at that man and he notices right away. He already knew. Brother Billy Ray, I think he already knew. He had a withered hand. It was obvious that they were trying to catch the Lord up. So the Lord, instead of going around the situation, went towards the situation. God never hides from what's going on inside of us. He always addresses it. You need to understand that. God's not going to run from the problem. God's not going to hide his eyes. God's not going to look the other way. God's not going to just let it go. God's going to address it. So that's what the Master's getting ready to do here. He's going to address that situation. So he says to that man that's walked in the back door. Now, you know how we do it, don't you? You know how we do it in church. Sure you do. I know. I usually stand at the back door, stand up around somewhere. We stand back here. You know, Brother Billy, we come in tonight. We did just like this. We did just like this. Grabbed his hand. We shook hands. We shook hands. We grabbed his hand. That's how it is. So at least that's how it is. And I just shook it. I just shook his hand. You know, took his abuse and shook his hand. But anyway, that's what I did. You know, I just shook his hand. But this man, when he came in, and they reached out his hand, Jesus says to him, stand forth. And he stood up. Not only did really have compassion upon him, but he made connection with him. And that's what the Lord's here to do tonight for you. He's trying to get you to realize, hey, I'm here to help you, but you got to stand up. I'm here to help you, but you got to stop hiding that hand. I'm here to help you, but you got to realize there's something going on inside of you that's got to change. There's something going inside of you that's got to be different. When we read this building today, I want to tell somebody, the Lord is here to help you.
Amen.
Me? You want me to stand up? You want me to stand up? Out of all of these people in this building that don't have a withered hand, you're wanting me to stand up. Everybody's going to see me. People don't like folks that's gone. People are tired of hearing me talk about it. People are tired of hearing what I'm going through. People are tired of hearing what I'm facing. Jesus says, stand up. And the man stood up. And there's connection. It's Jesus. And it's the man that's got the money. It's Jesus. And it's the person that's hurt me. It's Jesus. And the man who's here. One man. It's Jesus. And the one that don't like what's going on with his hand that can't do nothing about it. Because of withered hands. Don't you? When the nerves are severed, the damage is unrepairable. It can't be fixed. And he knows it. He's rubbed it off. I'm carrying this the rest of my life. I'm going to be like this forever, and somebody in this building has thinking, is this nightmare ever going to end? Is this problem ever going to get through? Am I ever going to get past this hurt? Am I ever going to get past this rhythm? Am I ever going to get past? They make connection. And they know the problem. And the master of the answer. And he says to that young man, he asks him to do something that's not physically possible for him to do. He cannot stretch forth his hand. Because he has no nerves in his hand. His muscles are gone. His coordination are gone. He cannot move that withered hand. But Jesus says, stretch forth your hand. And there was something in the tone of the master's voice that let the young man know. And he began to raise Mr. Leader. It's not easy as spotted. As maybe someone.